The Indian Mojo Show!
Welcome, friends, family, followers, and everybody else to episode 47 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. As always, I'm Mojo Monkey 12, joined by Indy Jones. Say hi to the adoring fans, Daniel.
What's going on, folks?
And, of course, the one, the only, Jack Gardner. Jack, how you be today?
I'd be good, dog.
Wow, okay, that's debatable. In addition to Jack and Daniel, we have a very talented individual joining us to share his insight and his very, very proprietarily secret method to doing the best video interviews on the entire extranet. We have Craig Aleg. Craig, how you doing?
Pretty good. I was trying to think of a way to top Jack's intro, and I couldn't.
Yeah, we always have that problem.
It was flawless.
So, Craig, before we get started, I've heard a lot of people tell me that you like to lie about where you're from. You say you're from the South, but clearly you are not.
I'm totally from the South. Okay, this is, yeah, it's free information. I'm actually from Alabama. And you, it doesn't exist. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm a double agent. I don't have the twang. It comes out in spurts, I will give you that.
Okay, we'll hear some throughout the show, I'm sure, at some point.
I'll put somewhere.
Well, hey, we're really, really grateful to have you with us, man. You do a great job on your video reviews, and we look forward to hearing a little bit about that process from you at some point.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's all lovey-dovey. And you don't mind if I call you Craig, right?
Any name you can conjure will be fine.
Oh, that's I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, not any power.
Heisenberg.
Okay, you and the Breaking Bad, man.
Heisenberg. You are now Heisenberg. All right.
I don't have my hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, hey, man, tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it you like to do besides play games and make videos?
Oh God, so many things. There's the usual stuff. Yeah, it's there's not a lot to do because I live in Alabama, so you're sort of limited.
I live in Montana. We still have less than 1 million people in the entire state, so I don't want to hear any. There's nothing to do.
You have a similar situation then, where basically your weekends end up being let's find something to do. But now there's a bunch of stuff out there. The usual, hanging out with friends and. Going to the bars every weekend, and we actually do a bunch of volleyball, kayaking, all that fun stuff. So I find things besides video games, but that tends to be my place of rest.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
So your video reviews, I think that they're great. I've already established that. Jack, do you have any? You want to start out the questions?
Yeah, sure. So what prompted you to start making video reviews?
I guess it started back. I was doing written reviews for a time on Game Informer, and I was posting those up. But I guess I'm trying to sort of make them to appeal to different people. Some people like to go in, scan it real quick, and pop out. Some people like to go in, read every detail. And then you have the people that have been really demanding video reviews and decided to give it a shot. So after a little time, I procured a bit of software and did a little bit of capture and threw one together and thought I'd give it a go and see how things worked out.
I think that's awesome. Actually, one of the things that I like about your reviews is that they're not just video reviews for the sake of video reviews. They're really well written as well. So how do you do that? Do you write them out first and then, like, just read them and talk over your review after your footage is all edited? Or do you somehow do that before and then edit it all together?
It took a little while to get the method down, but essentially, you know, I start out with capture, and after I'm done capturing everything and playing through the game, I go into writing the actual review itself. But I continue to, you know, post impressions and things as I go just to help me lay it out a little bit better. and basically I'll take all that capture, throw it into editing, and sort of edit almost in hand with the written review. But the written review is usually done first, and I use that and sort of rework that for the script and then throw that in as narration. But yeah, most of the time it goes capture, write, and then edit.
You make it sound so easy. Do you have any sort of like formal education in video editing and that sort of stuff, or did you learn all this on your own?
Slight. I mean, the programs and stuff that I'm using is nothing compared to what they're using out there. I had slight education for it, you know, with school projects and things like that. It just came naturally to throw this stuff together. The most I had was maybe Windows Movie Maker or something like that, but I haven't delved into like Sony Vegas Pro or anything like that. But
okay.
You know, some of the freeware stuff, it's not really nearly as complex, so it's pretty easy to learn as you go. And I just sort of self-taught a lot of it.
Do you have any... Do you do other video stuff besides video reviews, like Let's Plays or replays or anything like that?
Or My Hero Mojo, A Life Worth Living.
Why do you... Don't steal my journal anymore, Mojo. You can't read my journal.
Oh, man, sorry.
That was in the works. I may have to scrap it now. But, no, I did one sort of Let's Play where I tried out the Kinect functionality for Mass Effect 3. And that was actually something different that I just played around with to see how it worked, and it's something that seems like it would be fun to do.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, maybe incorporating some Let's Plays in the future. It wouldn't be long, drawn-out 20-minute sessions because, with those videos, people tend to skip around so I'd probably edit those down to short, concise, here are the most ridiculous moments. But yeah, I'd say those would be something in the future, but I've been sticking to video reviews for now just because of the onslaught of games that have been coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, it's my turn.
Nerd.
There's a lot of different sites out there that do video reviews and stuff like that. Who would you say you're influenced by the most?
It's sort of a mix and match. I definitely look, I've seen video reviews from multiple sites, Giant Bomb and G4 and all those different sites, but Game Trailers is probably the most prominent and evident influence on these that I do. I mean, the style they set it up as is there's a flow to it that works really well. And I like being able to see the gameplay with someone talking over it. It's just a style that seemed to work. And when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was debating, should I cut to myself and I cut the gameplay, or should I just do strictly gameplay, or should I make cartoons and go with a Yahtzee approach, or what I should do. But it ended up being, with starting out seeing how things feel, the game trailer wants you to work best.
What influences your decision on which games to choose to review? Is it strictly games you're interested in, or games that you feel other people may be interested in, or a combination of the two? What makes you decide to plop down your cash and put forth the work?
It's sort of a mix and match, really.
Is everything a mix and match with you, Craig?
Everything's a mix and match.
I need some straightforward answers here, man.
There's never straightforward answers in video reviews, my friend. Most of the time, it's basically whatever game I'm playing is the ones that I'm interested in and the ones that sort of catch my eye. For instance, the next one I'm going to be throwing up is Transformers Fall of Cybertron. That basically caught my eye when I was just messing around, played the demo. And I was so impressed by the demo that I was like, okay, let's see if this thing can keep up, if this consistency can hold, because I know a bunch of people were out there going, well, the demo's great, but I'm not sure if it'll stay consistent. So that was one of the reasons I bought that one and sort of played through that one. But it comes in, just whatever's interesting title looks like it would draw some sort of audience for it. That's usually the ones I try and go for.
And, I think a lot of people look at video reviews in general, and especially yours, because they're really well done, and think that they're very difficult to do. Do you have any advice for people who might want to start doing their own video reviews or have been thinking about it or anything like that?
Yeah, you should practice 10 times a day in the mirror and just start talking about a game that you really love. It's much more, you know, it's not nearly as difficult as I thought it would be. It's definitely a lot more time-consuming than I thought it would be. It takes a lot to sort of cut all these things together and polish it the way you want, if you really want a final product that'll work. But it's
how long would you say each one takes you?
It would depend on the game, too. You know, between the actual editing, you know, not counting how long it takes to play through the entirety of the game.
That's hard.
If you really sit down for it, I mean, maybe a week, maybe less, depending on what you got going on that week. I mean, it used to take me a lot longer, but once you get into the rhythm and the flow of it, it's simpler to throw everything together nowadays. But, it's usually about a week or so, maybe a little more, depending on the game.
All right.
It's impressive. Yeah.
Have we asked him enough? I think.
Do you have any other questions, Daniel?
I can't think of one.
Okay. Real quick, you mentioned the process a little bit, but what is some of the what do you use for capture on PC and or consoles? And do you have any preference on if you were to buy something? Now, knowing what you know now, what would you recommend somebody buy that was serious about it?
It depends on how rich you are.
So say you're really like Jack and money's not an issue.
What? Money's not an issue. Okay, if you're balling like Jack and you're out every weekend buying drinks for everyone at the bar, then I'd say, Sony Vegas Pro is definitely the most professional, amazing video editor you can get, but it's kind of drop you like half a grand. I mean, it's an expensive program. There's a lot of free video editing software out there that you can search for. What I ended up doing, just because I wasn't sure if I was going to continue it, was I purchased this Roxio set. It's maybe $100, but it gets you the software, the capture device, and allows you to sort of hook up both PS3 or 360. It coming with its own software was kind of a bonus. The software's similar to Movie Maker. It's not really that advanced, but it's still pretty good. But I'd say I'd recommend that if you're starting out kind of iffy on it. There's tons of other ones that you could definitely look into. One I purchased recently was a Bato Game Capture HD that's going to definitely
have I've heard about that.
Stuff. Yeah, that one has got nothing but good response so far. So that'd probably be a if you wanted to get a step up and really have good quality to everything.
I have one of the POG or whatever they're called, HDPVRs, and I used it like three times. It was expensive as crap, and I'd always planned on, real quick Indian Mojo history lesson here. I think we've shared this before, but when Daniel and I first started the show, our idea was to actually have a video show where it was going to be 20 minutes to a half hour, and we would just discuss a couple topics. And there would be video clips, mixed in with our talking, and we didn't have the talent to do that. But anyway, one of the things I got in preparation for that was the video capture device. It just sits here collecting dust. I'll never be able to use it. But it's cool. It can record in HD. But the Elgato can actually record in 1080p, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, it's able to do 720 or 1040. It's one of the few ones I've seen that's
1080i, I think.
Yeah, it's
got HDMI.
Instead of the splitters, which is a lot more beneficial.
Okay, so one quick question from Noob Tubinator on Skype, and you kind of covered this already. His question is, what program do you use to put it all together? So the one program, I guess, that you use to do the video and the audio together.
Right now, it's what came with the Roxio Game Capture. I mean, it's honestly a prettier looking, God bless you, a better looking Movie Maker.
You guys were not supposed to hear that.
Dude, of course I did.
I think when doing something like video reviews, obviously you want to have high quality stuff, but you're not trying to edit and make, graphics and movies and and that sort of stuff. What you're really trying to do is capture the stuff that's already there and make it flow. So I would say the most important thing is really the video capture device, personally. That's what I would think.
You could do plenty of research. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, and there's a lot of cheaper options if you just want to get a capture card or something like that. I mean, there's some cheaper, simple alternatives to it. So there's a lot out there. You just got to kind of look.
Right on. Well, hey, thanks for sharing. Do you want to do a quick shout-out to our other resident video reviewer extraordinaire, Cody Gilley, or the man with many dogs or names, Blake?
So many dogs.
Yeah. And he has long-haired miniature dachshunds. As do I. So much love there, brother.
Yeah, definitely, man. He's right on par. I try and promote his stuff whenever I can. He's definitely been doing like a moment series recently that's been pretty cool. Just kind of highlighting his favorite moments that were inspired from some Game Informer articles, his personal experiences in some of the recent games and older games that really stuck with him. So definitely got to give shout outs to him.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him on the show for a while, but it just hasn't lined up.
He's busy with his dogs.
Yes, indeed.
That's explained.
All right. Any other questions, Daniel, Jack, or should we move on?
I think we can move on. We've berated the man enough.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking. Something else.
No, it's cool. People, okay, one more question from Twitter. From Dean Robot, a.k.a. Born for This. How did you get your superpowers? Is it from some freak accident?
I think he's referring to my profile when I was like, I don't know if I want to fill this out, so I'm just going to list every superhero origin ever. I would say my superpowers probably came from some freak accident when I was little, trying to jump from one air conditioner to the other and falling and failing miserably. I'd like to think that bumped my head and activated the other portion of my brain that most humans can't access.
That makes sense.
Because it does. That made a lot more sense because I was just making that up as I went. I was like, where am I going with this?
With great air conditioners comes great responsibility.
And stitches.
And stitches. Yes. And healthcare. All right.
All right.
Well, that was cool. So, yeah, we learned a lot. And if you and Cody ever get a chance to do, like, a collaborative project, I think that would be totally awesome.
Definitely. I think we were talking about it before. Super video. We should do something.
You should do that. All right. Well, fellas, Jack, Daniel, you guys both have some things going on in your life. Who wants to go first this week?
Jack, you can go first since I went first last time.
Alrighty. Well, I just got back from a 7-day-long vacation up north with my family. And
was that all you ever wanted?
Well, a lot of things happened. I slept for 16 hours straight at one point. At another point, I got a bunch of poop in my face while we were checking the septic system of our cabin up there.
Sounds like a great vacation to me.
And it's actually kind of funny because it seems to be going around my family because my brother had problems with his toilet the week before, and got poop in his face, and the week before that, something similar happened to my dad, and he got poop in his face, so I guess it was just my turn. anyway, and while I was on vacation, I beat Deus Ex Human Revolution, which was
awesome.
Very satisfying. And I also started and completed Bastion, which I had never played before. And I don't know why, because it's one of those games that I knew I was going to love just from what I'd heard about it. But I just didn't ever get around to playing it. So I finally had the time, so I sat down and I played through it. And I was thoroughly satisfied with everything that was in that game. I had a fantastic time. And if you haven't played it yet, like me, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
It's an amazing game.
Yeah. And I love the soundtrack. And I love pretty much everything about that game. It's pretty pitch perfect.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Although I was very surprised to see it published by Warner Brothers. That was something that I hadn't heard.
You don't like Bugs Bunny?
No, I don't have anything against them. It's just I think of them as a movie company. I don't think of them as a video game company, even though they've gotten more into games lately.
Yeah.
They published Arkham City.
Right. I mean,
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, yeah.
They're getting higher profile. It's just
Batman.
Clearly, you don't know what you're talking about,
Jack. Well, no, I get what you're saying.
When you think of video game developers, do you think of, or publishers, do you think of Warner Brothers first, or do you think of...
If I saw a video game that had, like, a 20th Century Fox logo at the beginning, I would be kind of like, what the heck is this? Or, like, Paramount Pictures. So I see what you're saying, Jack. I got your back, Jack. Daniel, quit being a bully.
Right. Yeah, and don't you come back no more. Anyway,
Jumpin' Jack Flash, it's Jack Flash.
And it just used to be like whenever you saw Warner Brothers in front of a game, it was a licensed title, and you knew you were in for some poop in your face.
Yeah, you know what company has the most awesome like logo is the MGM, the lion roaring. That's cool.
What was the one that had the little dog up
there? Had the what?
What was the one that had the little dog with the stereo, with the old time...
THX? No.
No. It had the little...
Pan...
That's a classic. What was it?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
All right, viewers, listeners, answer us in the comments.
What is the movie publishing company with the little white dog?
And the megaphone, right?
Megaphone.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh, my God. We have the internet. How do we not know this?
I know, right? So, Jack, while Craig Ligg is staunchly looking up the answer to that query, aside from poop in your face, finishing Bastion, well, you were still talking about Bastion, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Continue.
I'm done talking about Bastion.
Okay.
And the last thing I did was I spent a ton of time working on my latest Minecraft project, which I call Thunderdome.
Thunderdome. Awesome.
Yeah. And, besides that, I got home yesterday, and since then I've been, I have begun my attempt at being a video game journalist. And
yeah.
I've been wearing plush velvet robes as I sit in high-backed velvet chairs with hunting hounds at my feet.
Smoking a cigar.
Don't be taking don't drink any wine that your queen's nephews give to you.
Ah, yes, the queen.
Or her cousins, rather.
Yes, the Duchess of Welshly.
Yes. Don't be going and hunting any boar while you're intoxicated.
It is not. So I've been sending emails out to different places, asking them, begging them, to allow me to write things for them. And in return, they would give me money, ideally. So hopefully you'll see some of my stuff pop up elsewhere on the internet or in print.
I hope
all.
So.
You got any leads?
I can say. What?
You got any leads that you can...
Yeah, I have a connection with the editor-in-chief over at Official Xbox Magazine.
Nice.
And I'm fairly confident that I'll be able to get something up on the Escapist. We'll see.
Just keep on keeping on, man.
Wait, so we can edit this out, but are you going through Susan for the Escapist?
What?
For the Escapist. Susan,
you can't. I just sent it to their queries section.
Okay.
I don't know who this Susan lady is, but she sounds fishy.
She don't... Well, I don't know if she's still doing that anymore, but she...
She's got more scales than a band book, she's so fishy.
I got on her bedside and pretty much could kiss my ability to write at the Escape This Goodbye.
Wait, how did you get on her bedside?
I pitched her one time, and she liked the idea.
Yeah, then you sold his idea to somebody else.
What?
Then you sold your idea to somebody else instead.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You told me all about it, you jerk.
She liked the idea, but she didn't respond to me for a week. And okay. I was really nervous, and I didn't know anything about doing this. It was the first time I had pitched to people. And yep. So I was like, well, if I'm going to hear something, I'm sure I'll hear something soon-ish. And I was just nervous, and I just had this idea burning in my head, and I wanted to write it. And so I pitched it to her, and she liked it but wanted me to change it a little bit. But I didn't hear that from her until I had already written it for the Game Effect, just because it's to write it. And I didn't think I'd hear back from her. So after I wrote it, I was like, well, I already wrote it for another site. So she just wrote me back. She's like, so you're telling me you pitched it to me, but you wrote it for someone else? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And then I tried to explain some more and never heard back from her.
I'm sure that happens a lot, actually. I mean, that's what freelancers do. They pitch it to as many people as they can, and if it took her a week to get back to you, then that's her fault.
Right. Exactly. But she did just get promoted, so I'm not sure she's... I don't think she's doing the freelance
stuff.
Anyway.
So what you're saying is you can't email her and put in a good word for
her. Yeah, don't use Daniel as a reference at the Escapist. Because I'm sure she has, like, a picture of him on her bulletin board because he slighted her so badly out of the dozens, hundreds, if not thousands, of requests she probably gets each week. I bet she does remember you, Daniel, because you're just silky smooth like that.
Anyway, I'm sure she doesn't remember me, so that's...
She might. She was really mad at you. You read me that email. It was mean.
I'm just trying to see where this will take me, and who will be willing to pay me for things that...
I'll pay you for things.
Haha, clever.
Where is this podcast going?
The real question is, how much? Cool, well, Jack, that sounds pretty awesome. I hope you get to write as much as you possibly can and make a bunch of money. But ideally, I'm sure you would like a staff job at some point, right? I mean, freelancing is just something to kind of get by and get your foot in the door.
Right. We'll see how it works out. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But here's hoping.
Well, I'm sure we're all rooting for you.
Yeah, I mean, just today, one of the guys from the office texted me telling me that they missed us.
Aww.
Or they missed me there.
Well, Jack, I really think that if you're patient and do all the good stuff, that eventually that'll work out for you. But that's just me.
But Jeremy, I've been raised in America where instant gratification is... Oh, man. I need it now, Jeremy.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't talk
about that. Can you give that to me, Jeremy?
what?
Give me instant gratification.
Is this a freelance deal or is this a paid job? I kind of got lost here. Well, I can tell you, Jack, that it's going to be okay every single day, but ultimately you're just going to have to be patient and let somebody get fired. But you could do some, like, sabotage type stuff. I mean, if you wanted to.
If I slip you a 50, will you poison somebody for me?
No, that poison, that's a coward's method.
That's such a harsh word, Jeremy. Maybe just... Put a little bit too much Pepto-Bismol in there.
Dude, I was just, like, saying, you know, let somebody's air out of their tire and make them late for work for, like, a few times in a row. That's all you gotta do. You don't need to kill anybody. My goodness.
It's like a really bad Assassin's Creed.
I know.
Please, Daniel, please cut this all out.
Or put some mountain laurel in their food.
Please, please cut up where I threatened to poison people in the video game industry.
Yes, let's not let that get out. It actually happened. All right, so we really should move on. It's
yes.
The beginning and our 30-minute side conversations were kind of getting off track here. Yeah, so
I'll cut most of that out.
Well, I know, but it's still taking time right now.
Yes, I know.
I'm lost now, so I don't even know where to go. Jack. So, Jack, good luck with your freelance stuff, and hopefully you land a paid full-time staff gig sometime soon. And if anybody from Game Informer is listening, know that I still wholeheartedly support Jack in getting a job there, and I think you should too. That's on my own accord.
And if any of the editors are listening, I still wholly support Jeremy to become chef.
Well, you know, I did get offered a moderator position, so I'm making my way, Jack.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm making my way. So moderator, community manager, then maybe chef. But I don't really want to be a chef. I just want to get paid and work there.
How come your thing isn't blue? I hope you've never heard that before.
More times than you know. I don't know. I don't really want to say a whole lot because I don't know in case it falls through, I guess.
Well, Jeff, you're not yet, are you?
Well, Jeff asked me, and then I told him today that I would, and okay. He said that he would try to get the promotion process done as quickly as possible. I think they offered 3 people, so there'll be a few new moderators.
Nice.
I'm not sure who the other ones are.
Make an excellent moderator.
Yeah, I almost turned him down, but then I thought, you know, what the heck, why not?
Why would you turn that down? It's basically just what you do already. Now you can delete the fam.
People look at you different, and I don't know, you know. Like, if you think about it, look at the mods that are there, and I mean, no disrespect to any of them. In fact, I'm actually becoming pretty decent friends with one of them, and I have, you know, I admire and respect and appreciate what they all do. But clearly they were all very much more active at one time than they are now. That's how they became mobs, right?
Right.
And it seems to me that perhaps the becoming a mod changes things a little bit and that people look at you different. So, you know, now whereas I go to somebody's page and give them advice, like if it's friendly advice, which most of the time it is, I'm sure it wouldn't matter. But if I go there and say, you know, in the future, instead of maybe doing this, that, or the other, you should post this in the forums or whatever, and I have a mod thing, then people are going to be like, man, what's this jerk do? I don't know. I could see where it could seem different to some people. But at the end of the day, you're right. It is pretty much a lot of the things I do currently anyway, so I thought, what the heck, why not? And if I can ban spammers, then I'm all for it.
Plus, do you know how much tail you're going to get because of this?
I've already gotten a couple rooster tails and a possum tail just handed to me today as soon as I even thought about it. I didn't even have to say the words. I just thought, I was sitting at work thinking, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, I'm going to reply and I'm going to, you know, tell them yes, I would be humble, you know, I would be humbled and honored and blah, blah, blah. And, like, pretty soon FedEx shows up with a couple of tails and then UPS had one. Just strange stuff, man.
Huh.
So am I cutting all that out of the podcast?
What? I don't. You can leave in there that I got offered. I don't care.
Okay, cool.
But I don't know about the tail part.
Like
do whatever you do, man. I trust you to edit the show, and so far you haven't gotten me in jail yet. All right. So.
All right.
Any other exciting poop in the face related stuff you want to share, Jack?
If anyone listening to this is kind of on the older side and is looking for a TV show to watch, you should definitely check out Wilfred. It's like an adult. It's a TV show that's kind of in the same vein as a very raunchy and adult version of Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
That's
like Will and Grace.
What?
That was a joke. Will and Grace. Yeah, anyway.
I don't understand the comparison.
I don't either. That's the joke, man. Jeez.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
I know, right? So where can we find this Wilfred? What channel?
Wilfred is found on Netflix. Season 1 is on Netflix, or you can buy it on Amazon, I'm sure, or major retailers.
So you can find it on Netflix. It's not on network or on cable TV or anything?
Season 2 is currently underway on cable. I think it might be on FX.
Okay.
Yeah, it's FX. Sure. Yep.
That's what I was going for. All right. Sounds fun. So,
yes.
So Craig, what have you been up to? What have you been playing? What have you been doing? What have you, what do you do?
What do you do? I've actually had a lot of wedding-related stuff interfering. I got a friend getting married, and I'm a groomsman in it. So I've been running around doing that. But in the time I've been able to find to play games, I just finished up Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was very impressed with that. I picked it up initially just to the demo alone. It's pretty consistent in what the demo sort of gave you the offering of. As the Game Informer, I guess, review had pointed out before, variety is what keeps it interesting. There's a bunch of chapters laid out in the campaign, and you assume a different Autobot or Decepticon for each chapter. And while they still have the same sort of run-and-gun mechanics to it, they have a different sort of special ability that can really sort of refresh the gameplay and keep it interesting. Like, Optimus is very run and gun. He'll charge in a battle and, you know, leading Autobots, you feel really awesome and powerful when you're with him. And then, Jazz.
Is he the Prime character?
Like that. Did you see? He had to throw that in there.
I did. Sorry. It's in my contract. I gotta have at least 6 puns per episode.
No, but the Dubai, you know, is Bumblebee, and he's sort of the same sort of setup for it.
Yeah, a lot of buzz around that character. Whoa, I'm on fire!
Zing!
Why don't you write reviews? You could just throw these in and inform people.
You just answered your own question.
Yeah, he'd probably bumble around.
Oh, God. I don't even know if I can keep this going.
Just to show you how talented Daniel is as an editor, because
does he have to throw these out every day?
Oh yeah, he's got to spend hours.
All right, here we go. You made 30 of them this time. I got to edit all that. but no, it's been a fairly surprisingly enjoyable game. I had a lot of fun playing it, and one of the more interesting aspects was actually the multiplayer that I dived into. I wasn't expecting much from it, but it's just as addictive as the single player is.
Yeah, have you? So I take it you've played Exhalation, but in that game.
That's co-op, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the co-op mode. You have to survive waves.
Yeah, it's.
So it's like Horde mode.
Yeah, it's similar to Horde mode. I'd say it's kind of that standard. You get a group of four. Everyone has an ability that can sort of assist your teammates in a way. One of them is able to drop, like, ammo, a force field where you'll continually recharge ammo. Another person heals. So, and the waves can become increasingly difficult. Like, if you just hop on with people who don't know what they're doing, you'll die pretty quick. But where the people that know what they're doing and work together are the ones that really, that's when the mode becomes really fun.
I don't know. Craig, are you going to play? Oh, sorry, Jack.
No, I was just going to say, it's probably one of my most unexpected favorite games of the year so far.
Oh yeah.
Like I don't think anybody really expected much from a Transformers game, and this game certainly delivers in all aspects.
It's, you know, it's a franchise where you wish it would get a really, really good game. It's almost like God, the Matrix or something like that. Like when that Matrix game came out for Xbox way back, I was like, I want a Matrix game that's awesome. And then I played that and I'm like, this is not a Matrix game that's awesome.
Someday it can still be made.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the better ones. It's what the franchise sort of deserved. It was made by people who watched the cartoon and who love the cartoon, and you can tell as you're playing through the game, they're there are people that love this game and that love this sort of franchise, and they wanted to show that with what the game is.
Yeah, it's done fairly well for a, you know, licensed game on Metacritic and all that. I think that it's definitely pretty well received, so.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it, but who knows, I may at some point in the future. Craig, are you planning on picking up Borderlands 2?
Already pre-ordered, my friend.
Nice, you get PC, 360, what route are you going there?
Had a group of friends on PC that I'll end up playing with, like, three of my buddies said they were going to pick it up, and that's a very rare occasion for me to have his friends picking up stuff, the same stuff that I do to play with. So
nice.
So that'll be fun. So I'll have three buddies to go with it for.
Right on. Well, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, I'm all right. Hey, did you play the Walking Dead episode 3?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. Pretty intense stuff, huh?
It was. I, not to spoil anything, but, the story is very interesting. It's kind of like one of those, like, if you look at it as a TV show, it's one of those episodes where not much happens, but a lot happens.
But what does happen has a large impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, well, one of the things that happens is, crap load of people die in that freaking episode.
They thinned down quite a bit.
Yeah, they have. But, yeah, it's good. It's good. I enjoyed it, except for the shooting part where I had to shoot.
I don't want to say any spoilers, but a couple things about, like, I think the game is awesome. I really do. I love it. I think that, one, the episodic part, I think, is just sucks. They're doing it terribly bad. It's taking way too long between episodes, and you lose a lot of that momentum, in my opinion. I think that the game, like, you know, the gameplay isn't really gameplay. It's really more about setting and atmosphere and story. But I do think, especially in this episode, there were some instances where I really felt like there was just cheap, easy deaths. Like, you had to do it four or five times to even figure out what the heck the game wanted you to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I felt that was kind of cheap. I felt that they did that just to make it feel longer. And, you know, the part where you're on the train and you're trying to figure out what to do, there's, like, no clues. And it's such this wide, you know, this wide area where you have to search for stuff to make, you know, to progress that part. And it takes forever to walk back and forth and you don't know what to do. That part really, really frustrated me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. I was very frustrated. I had to text you to find out what the heck to do.
Yes, yes, you did. And it took me probably a good hour and a half to get through a stretch that could have taken me 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but awesome game. All that said, it's the wow moments, the impact moments are just so amazing that I definitely recommend it.
Definitely. Me too.
Beyond The Walking Dead, what have you been playing?
I've also been playing a little bit of everything. Played a little bit of Sleeping Dogs, played a little bit of Borderlands on PS3, because I got that free with PS Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
And played a little bit of Shadow of the Colossus on my Vita today, which was fun.
Remote play?
Through the remote
crossplay, remote crossplay.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
Do you like that function? Personally, I think it's an amazing feature that's pretty much free and something that's a technical marvel, but really hard to set up.
Yeah, I heard it was really hard to set up. I think I saw something you were pretty frustrated by that.
Yeah, it's just I was just annoyed because figuring out how to do that is not easy. And then, but I mean, now that I know how to do it, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But I was more annoyed because they were very vague about the update and how that was all working. Because Sony came out with an announcement yesterday, and there were millions of news stories. It was like, crossplay now available for
for Eco HD on Vita, and I was like, oh, sweet. So I go on, and I try it, and it's like, crossplay is not available for this game.
It's because the way they do their updates is they roll them out, and they don't always do it the same. So, like, say my area, 1 week I'll get updates, like, first, and some other times it'll be in the middle of the night or dead last. Because they don't give it to everybody at once. They give it to, like, you know, the Northeast, the Midwest, like, all these different regions at different times.
Well, clearly the Northeast got it last yesterday because I went to bed and I still hadn't gotten it, and I woke up this morning and it was there, so I tried it out. And it's pretty cool. It looks pretty great on that little screen. It doesn't look quite as sharp as on the HD TV, but it's still pretty nice. And I was just
would you say
out.
It?
What
would you say? It still looks better than the PS2 version, though.
Yes,
definitely playable. I mean, you're not looking at a block or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really nice. I was hanging out, talking to my parents tonight, and playing Shadow of the Colossus on my Vita at the same time.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool feature, and I think that Sony would be wise, as long as it doesn't take a ton of development time or resources, to make that pretty much mandatory to implement it in all games moving forward. Because, you know, you don't have to play it on your Vita. I mean, obviously, if you're at home, the ideal situation isn't to sit there and play it on your Vita, but it's such a cool option to have. Even in the rare times that I would use it, it's awesome that it's there. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah. I want to see it in more games.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see it. At least all first-party games should be a no-brainer. But definitely some of the third-party games. I think the Vita, the Wii U, and I think the Wii U controller tablet, this is going to be cool, and it's going to be able to innovate, but I think that the Vita could be used a lot more like that in upcoming PlayStation games as well. So I think we'll see a lot more from the Vita now. If it doesn't start selling, then developers probably won't care and not develop for it, but a price cut or a solid bundle, or better yet, both, could make a huge difference for that thing right now.
Oh, yeah. Price cut.
I know I'm saying the obvious, but just whatever.
But I wonder if one of the reasons that they don't do more cross-play stuff is because of graphics capabilities. Do you think?
Well, if you think about it, though, like, the Vita has a pretty high-resolution screen, and it's smaller, so they should be able to take most games and render them on that, because it's pretty powerful as well.
Right.
And render them on that screen. But that maybe they lose some of it in that, airwave or wireless transmission. I don't know much about that kind of stuff. So that might be where the hiccup is, I suppose.
I mean, it's not flawless. One of the things about the Shadow of the Colossus thing is, especially during, cutscenes and right after cutscenes and right after it loads and stuff, it freezes often for, a few seconds at a time.
Did you go back to play it on your PS3 afterwards to check to make sure the saves and all that worked?
No, I haven't done that.
Well, hopefully it did.
Hopefully.
Right on. So, any other games or any other exciting news you want to share with our listeners?
Well, since you're...
Hint.
Hinting. I've mentioned before that I'm moving to San Francisco for a little while, in indefinite amount of time. And I have a friend out there. I would say he's probably one of the closest people I have to a best friend besides Jeremy. And he offered for me to shack up with him for a little while and see what the job market's like out there and try to meet some people and freelance. So that's my plan. And I finally bought my plane ticket a few weeks ago, and I will be going out there on September 18th.
Woohoo!
The day Borderlands comes out.
So, if you're going out there on September 18th, how are you going to vote? Because you won't be able to be a registered voter in California by that time, will you?
I can do an absentee ballot.
Okay. I guess you can. That would make sense. Because voting is important, and everybody that can vote should vote. Just
this is the same conversation I have with my parents constantly.
Nice, that's funny. So, what are your plans when you get there? I mean, obviously nothing is set in stone, and if you come back next week and say something happened different than what you tell me now, I'm not going to yell at you, but you got to have some sort of idea of what you want.
Well, yeah.
In a perfect world, where would you see yourself 2 months after being in San Francisco?
Perfect world, I would be...
Keep it somewhat PG-13 to R.
No, I mean, in a perfect world, I would definitely be a staff writer at a website or magazine.
Okay.
But most likely, I'm hoping to just make some contacts with editors to get some freelance opportunities and also be in proximity to some developers that I can go and visit and interview and write about, and whether I'm writing for a website or just writing for a website like the Game Effect. You know, if I'm writing for a big website, great. But if I'm able to write something about a developer out there for the Game Effect, then that'd be great. Because I'm still going to be writing and editing for them. So, and I'll still be doing the Indian Mojo show.
That's good.
Hooray!
Worried about that. Just in a different time slot for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be kind of weird.
It'll be fine.
So, yeah. Since we have three talented writers here, I want to ask you guys all this same question. And, Jack, you know, you've mentioned that you want to write about games, you want to work at Game Informer. Daniel, you clearly would love to do, you know, something in the gaming industry writing. And Craigleg, I know that you're quite satisfied following in your father's footsteps. However, I get the sense that if the right opportunity opened up for you, you would like to do something in the gaming world as well.
Oh yeah.
Daniel, if you could have your choice between writing for like a journalism, a publication site, or writing for like an actual game company, like a developer to write the games, what would be your preference? So like, right, like if you could work for Sony Santa Monica, that's somewhere near San Francisco, isn't it?
Yeah.
On their next project as a writer, would you prefer to do that, where you don't probably get near as much recognition, but you're actually part of the project, or would you prefer to be in a traditional journalist role?
I think I'd rather be in the journalist role. I really, really enjoy doing the research about the people that make games and I mean, like, at the story I did about I Am Alive, like, that was just one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. I really enjoyed doing that. And I interviewed one of the guys from the Darksiders 2 team recently, and writing the story about him and his family is really interesting so far. And, like, that's the kind of stuff that I really like doing. So, I'm not a great creative writer, and it's not something that I've ever really wanted to pursue. So,
Jack, how about you?
If I were to ever work for a game company, I could see myself in more of like a community manager role.
Okay.
Yep.
Jack, would you like to work as a writer on games?
That'd be a tough choice for me because I really enjoy creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do it quite a bit in my spare time. Like I've mentioned before on the show, I have a book of stuff. I'm working on another one. And so I it's something I really enjoy doing, but at the same time, I know for a fact that the writing process for a video game is much different than the writing process for like a movie or even a book or something like that.
Very piecemeal.
And even though the idea of writing a video game really, really, really appeals to me. I think that in practice, it wouldn't be as fun for me, or as, no, it might be as rewarding for me, but I don't think I would enjoy it as much.
Okay.
And I, with creative writing, I enjoy it to the point that I don't want to make it work.
Yeah.
And, writing about video games for me is a way to combine my love of writing with my love of video games into a way where, it doesn't make video games work for me, and it doesn't make writing work for me. It's just kind of this fun thing that I get to do. That's always interesting.
Oh. Craig?
Oh, of course I gotta follow Jack on that one. you know, he's definitely bringing up a good point too, you know, especially with the journalism. I mean, you're not so much, I don't think you're as restrained as you would be if you were writing
Yeah, I mean, most games don't have one writer that just sits down and writes and all hands it to the developers and says, oh, here, follow this. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
And then there's just this plethora of stuff to write about, especially in journalism. But I think it would be interesting to write a company that, you know, you take BioWare. I remember playing Dragon Age and just being so impressed with the dialogue, and it was much more original. It wasn't as cliche, and just the characters felt, you know, so real. And I think, you know, being able to write something like that would be pretty cool, just to sort of, you know, kind of form your own personality in this world that you're able to shape. I think they're pretty awesome. So part of me wants to lean over towards that direction.
Yeah, I mean, clearly I don't have the talents that you guys possess, but if I had to pick, I would think I would prefer to work for a game company. The reason I thought of that is I was watching some videos earlier this week with the Valve writers, like Eric Wolplaw or something like that.
Check.
And those guys look like they're just having a ton of fun. And the stuff that they seem to have the most fun on isn't even the games, it's the little side projects that they do. Which, I don't know, it looked like they're having a lot of fun, so just made me kind of think about it.
Yeah.
Right on, so anything else that you want to share with us, Daniel? You're feeling better this week, obviously.
Yep, I'm feeling better. No, not really much. Okay.
Well, I hope you make it big in San Francisco, and your buddy, hopefully he has room for me to come and crash as well. So...
open house party.
Yeah.
Being as I'm sleeping on a futon in the living room, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So that just means you need to hurry up and get successful and get your own place.
That's right.
I can come and crash.
Yeah, you bum.
Yeah, you bum. So that's cool. Right on. So I haven't done a whole lot. I've been playing Guild Wars. Oh, sorry. Did I skip something?
Jeremy, I know that you were about to talk about Guild Wars 2.
I was.
And I just wanted to let you know that I finally caved and I bought it.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we can play together.
I'm caving this weekend.
Are you?
Yeah, there's been so much talk in word of mouth about this game.
You got friends you're playing with already?
No, I need to hop on your server then.
Yeah, Emery Bay, if you, I mean, you obviously do whatever you want. But, yeah, it's cool because there's no subscription fee. I think that's the one thing that I really like about it. And
yeah,
it does have some microtransactions. Like, you can buy these gems, which you can then trade for gold, I guess. Or these gems you can use to buy different things. But so far, what I've seen, like, the things you can buy are helpful, but I don't see any one thing that gives you, like, this... It doesn't really seem like a pay-to-win type of game, even though it has those, you know... microtransactions, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I suck at MMOs. There's so much going on that I just don't understand. But it's fun. I'm having a good time.
I've started over like three times. I mean, you and I played together a little bit, Jeremy, and I had a blast trying to hunt you down.
Yeah, Jack spent 15 minutes trying to find me, and then I left 5 minutes later.
Well, like, I had to travel through, like, level 45 zones to get to where you were. and
but you could have just gone through that portal.
Well, I didn't know that the portal existed, Jeremy, until I found you. And then you asked me the obvious question, as you...
Hey, to be fair, I said, should I just make a human character and come to you? I did try to, you know, I tried.
I didn't want you to waste one of your valuable characters.
Well, I ended up having to create a whole new account anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But,
why?
Well, because that was that one code that... I didn't ever actually end up going to the store and picking up the retail game. So, to not confuse things, I just made a new account. It's not like I was very far anyway. I'm still on the same server, but my main character is a Silvari warrior, and I was playing as, like, a engineer, which was cool, and I think that's, like, the play style I would probably prefer. But since I knew so little about MMOs, I thought that maybe my first go round, I should just play as something basic, which, you know, a warrior, you smash, and that's pretty much what you do, so. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm on level 16 or 17, and just now starting to do, like, even my character quest, and done a couple world events. Joined a guild, but I don't even remember doing it. I thought I was accepting, like, a party invite or a friend request, so whatever.
That's how they get you.
I'm sure I can leave just as easily.
You got a membership fee?
Yeah.
They charge you 5 gold a minute or something? That'll do it.
They said no, there's nothing like that. That I can come and go. So anyway, it's pretty cool. I've really enjoyed it. Played a little bit of Borderlands. Daniel, it's cool that you have it. We should play, you know. It's odd. We've never actually played a game together.
We played once, and then you hated me afterwards. So.
What did we play?
Uncharted.
Oh, that's right. I didn't hate you. Not any more than I did when we started. no, but seriously, we should play some Borderlands this weekend.
Yeah,
there's a couple other GIOers that are going to play, so that'll be fun. I think I mentioned earlier that I did get offered and have accepted, and then just waiting for the approval, waiting for the other two people to say whether or not they want to do it. To be a mod on GIO, so I'm honored and happy and excited about that. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And finally, the last thing I want to mention is Team GIO. We are 6 weeks away from the event, so time is running out, folks. We've raised close to $3,300.
Which is $1,300 more than last year.
Well,
let's point that out.
Not quite 1,000 more than last year at this point, but we're still doing good. But we have a lot of people that have signed up and were very enthusiastic when they first signed up, but I'm not sure if they got busy or forgot about it. But there's a lot of people that I would hope in sometime in the very near future would get busy and get out there and try to get some donations.
Almost half the people who've joined haven't actually donated, so that means we could almost double what we have now.
We could do that.
We'll be cracking.
There's lots of cool stuff happening, lots of prizes. I've had a lot of people ask me about the captain thing, so I'm going to email Extra Life and see if we can get that switched so that the money that the captain raises will support the hospital Jack wants to support so that he can switch himself back to captain. If not...
It's not that I don't like the Montana Hospital. Just throwing that out there. It's just that I am going to be participating in the Game Informer stream that's going to be going on during the event, and we're all supposed to be supporting the Minnesota and Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
That's the Gillette one, right, Jack?
Yeah, Gillette.
So, one way or another, I promise you, we will have a named captain sometime within the next week or so. So, please stop panicking about the red captain thing. It will go away. whatever. When I first saw it, I was confused too, so I understand why people are asking. Anyway, there's lots of work left to do. A lot of the big dogs are coming out. G4 started theirs. I'm sure probably IGN and Destructoid will start there soon. We're now in third place. And I, you know, I'll be honest, I knew we were never going to finish in first place, but I'm proud that we held on to it as long as we did. And yeah, my goal is to still finish on the first page, which means in the top 10. And that's a very, very, very achievable thing if everybody gets busy, gets together, and goes out and donates money or raises money.
Why is first place so unattainable?
Because G4 is going to raise $35,000-$40,000. It's just not going to happen. You know, you got to be somewhat realistic here. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, their donation goal is $30,000.
And last year, I think they made it to like $36,000. So, you know, which is great. That's awesome. But we can certainly still have a big impact for what we are. I do hope that we'll get some more front page coverage. And a couple people have offered to donate some gifts or do some things to help generate revenue. I think that's awesome. If you have any questions or want some help with that, feel free to contact myself or Jack or NoobTubinator. If you have like a prize that's really valuable, and I know some one person mentioned that they had a Borderlands loot, ultra loot chest thing that, you know,
ooh,
that's pretty hard to get.
And yeah,
when they first sold out, people were paying $800-900 for them on eBay. If you have something like that and you really want to donate it as a prize, I would strongly ask that you consider selling it and donating some of that money instead. Because as awesome as having a team member get an $800, well, they're going for like $350 now. Some, you know, they finally kind of evened out. But as awesome as it would be for somebody to have like a $350 prize, I think I think that it would be better off just donating that money directly to your hospital of choice. That would be my opinion on it, but you can do whatever.
I agree.
It's your stuff.
Yep.
I'd say you're right.
If you have smaller prizes that you want to donate, contact NoobTubinator, and he will get you going. So Team GIO is going to be in full effect. You're going to hear me talking nonstop about it for the next month. I apologize in advance, but it's time to get busy. Last year, we didn't even announce it until September 19th, and the event was, I don't know, about 4 weeks later. So, you know, so we definitely got a head start, but this is go time. It's time to get as many people involved that can donate and raise money and be the best we can be.
Cool.
Okay. You're here.
So that's all I got on that. Hey, did any of you guys notice how many blogs have been posted in the last few days?
Too many.
I wouldn't say too many, but there's definitely a ton. And I think that's because of Jeff, how do you say his last name, Jack? I always butcher this.
Marchiafava.
Marchiafava, yes, thank you. Jeff Marchiafava, yes, Master Chief, Jeff. He wrote an article on Game Informer, I think Monday or Tuesday, and it was simply entitled "Why You Should Blog a Game Informer." And he was targeting people that have asked him about how to get a job in the gaming industry. And his response was, you know, start a blog, write good blogs. But then he connected it to the Game Informer community blogs, and you know, mentioned how there was some excellent people that do great blogs there, and anyway, that ended up creating a ton of new bloggers. So it's a lot of lot to read through, but there's been some quality stuff, definitely.
Yeah.
So welcome to all the new people. It's cool to have you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks, Jeff, for the continued support. That's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, for the shout out to me in that piece.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's all about Jack. That's right, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Well, this is the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show.
Yes, the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. Indeed it is. No, everybody that got mentioned in that piece deserved to be mentioned. And Daniel, once you get your 30, or your month journal blog idea that you had posted on Game Informer, people will then remember how talented of a blogger you are as well.
Right. Since nobody goes to the Game Effect when I write stuff on there. I do
sometimes. I try, man. I really do.
Anyway.
Yeah, but blogs are different than writing for the Game Effect.
Nah, I know.
So, anyway, I'm just telling you. You people would love your blogs. You need to get busy.
People would, but people do love your blogs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. All right.
Yeah.
Fun games. Any burning desires or questions or thoughts anybody wants to share before we do our shout-outs?
I have plenty of those, but none that I really want to share on this podcast.
That seems fair. Craig, how has this experience been for you? Would you recommend your friends?
I would recommend it. 4 out of 5 doctors already recommended it, and I would recommend it even further.
Nice. Yeah, we didn't get that check to the 5th doctor on time, unfortunately, but...
Yeah, nobody likes him anyway.
I know, right? He's the guy that won't hand out any drugs, so that's...
Oh, man.
That's kind of
a stiff.
It was cool having you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I say we do our shout-outs and wrap this baby up. What do you guys say?
Let's do it. I think it's a wonderful idea.
You know what? We haven't mentioned in a long time. Please, if you like the show, subscribe to us on iTunes or Podomatic. And if you would like to leave a fair and honest review, feel free to do so.
And heck, if you want to tell your friends or tweet about us to tell even more people, feel free to do that. We won't mind.
And if you have an idea for the show, let us know, man. Seriously. I love hearing feedback from the listeners, so please feel free to tell us how you feel one way or the other.
Definitely. All right,
who wants to go first? Shout-outs.
I'll go first.
Okay, pick a number between 1 and 10.
Don't you mean 1 and 11?
Nope, because I knew that you would both pick 11.
3.
1.
It's 11. Daniel gets to go first.
Dang it.
Okay. My shout out this week is for Hiss, who doesn't really need the help, but he's still a shout out. You have a different opinion than me. You must be a shill. It was a funny blog, which Hiss is one of the best at writing funny blogs.
The comic stylings of Dave.
Yes. So, if you haven't read that, which you probably have, but if you haven't, go check it out, because it was funny.
It was. He had a couple good blogs this week.
Yep.
So, Jack, I suppose you can go next if you want.
Well, all right then. This week's shout-out for me goes to blogger Kinsey. I don't know if we've shouted him out before or her out before.
How do you spell it?
K-I-N-S-E-Y. But he's kind of undertaking his own special project that is really intriguing, and it caught my eye for the first time today, even though it had multiple entries. But basically, it's his Super Nintendo timeline. And what he's trying to do is go through and play every Super Nintendo game in chronological order.
Holy smoly.
And he's going to be kind of posting little reviews of each game, and it's really interesting. In the first one, he covered F-Zero, and then Super Mario World, and then this game called Kablooey that I'd never heard of it before, and it has the best name of any video game I've ever heard of. Today he posted a blog just comparing Japanese, European, and American box art for each of the games. And it's interesting. And he writes a little bit about each matchup. And yeah, I would recommend people just go look through his blogs and read these, because they're very very interesting and very ambitious. So I wish him the best of luck and hope that he can finish it.
Yeah.
It's quite the undertaking.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
Sorry, singing to my cat.
It's okay, you get the happy the best.
Okay.
The closing segment.
The opener.
That is going to be something, at least.
You'll never know, dear, how much I love you.
Okay, so who wants to go next? Craig?
Oh, yeah, I'm the last.
I gotta go. Do you want to go last? We can save the best for last.
Nonsense. I'll go ahead and go. My shout-outs will have to be to Crew Hunter.
The elusive Crew Hunter.
Yeah, for his blog post about the allure of the unknown. Just sort of touching base on games that don't completely explain every element of the story, and the ones that leave the mystery are definitely the most memorable ones that you can go with. I mean, especially in one case he makes, in the most, probably the best case, was with Half-Life, about the G-Man. I mean, there's to this day a ridiculous amount of speculation as to who the G-Man is and what his whole purpose is.
Not Gordon Freeman?
No. G-Man's the guy in the business suit. He appears randomly throughout the stages, and he's always interfering. I mean, it's pretty interesting. They left it very open-ended. They sort of hinted very, very subtly in Episode 2.
Yes, and, especially if you play Episode 2, Jeremy.
I'm getting to it.
Yeah. Really interesting character in that.
I have
no rush.
Oh, too. I just haven't finished it.
Well, there's no rush. Three is God knows when, so no big rush at all. But yeah, the added sense of mystery in a game is definitely something that sort of entices you to, you know, in self-interpretation, you try and figure out what's going on. I think the best recent example would be Journey. I mean, there's not a single word of spoken dialogue in that game.
Here we go.
That's what I'm telling you. Is this one that's mentioned way too much?
No, go ahead.
It's the fifth game of the year, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably one of the things that makes it so outstanding and so interesting, is just that idea of you sort of form the lore just based on what's going on in the world around you and just the subtle hints of a story that they provide for you, I think, it's something that games sort of need to find that healthy balance for.
Indeed. Yeah. So, I'm sure Daniel wants to say something because you talked about Half-Life and Journey.
Go, Daniel.
Kind of compared them. So, Daniel, feel free if you want to chime in.
He said everything that I would say.
And he did a mighty fine job. All right, my jacked-up Indian Mojo Show community shout-out this week goes to Super Snake 4-1, administrating the Game Informer online Final Fantasy Fantasy Football League, and we had our draft on Saturday, and I'll probably lose every game, but hey, I'm doing it. It's the first time I've ever done it, and so far it's been pretty fun. So good job on that. But more community or gaming related is his dissecting the Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes trailer. It's a very thought-provoking and serious in-depth look at the 10-minute Ground Zeroes trailer. If you haven't read it, you definitely should, because it's some of the hardest-hitting. I would say the guy paid really close attention and got all the fine details that most of us probably didn't see in the trailer. So if you're a Metal Gear Solid fan, it's definitely worth watching. So that's my shout-out to Super Snake. The truth is, it's actually a really funny blog, so if you like to laugh, read it.
You?
All right.
Another interesting, you know I was going to cheat, blog that I read this week was by one Quasi Conundrum, and he is talking about the aforementioned Half-Life series in this blog as well.
Oh, yeah.
The blog is titled Noob's Eye View, Half-Life 2 and the First Person Shooter. He talks about how he's not a huge fan of first person shooters, but he wanted to give him a try, so he figured he would play the first person shooter of first person shooters, which was Half-Life 2.
Yeah, that was a good blog.
It was a good blog. He kind of stated how I felt about it. It was a good game, but I didn't see the appeal that many others have with it. As far as actually running around and shooting, I think it was a blast. The other stuff is the stuff. Well, he said it much better than I did, so go there, read it, check it out. And the guy is actually a really good writer and blogger in general, beyond this blog. So, welcome to the community shoutouts, Quasi Conundrum. You deserve it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm done cheating now.
All right. So that was the show this week, I guess. Thank you very much to Craig Leg for coming on and talking to us.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice and putting up with our technical shortcomings.
It's okay. It was just like doing a video review, so that's basically how it goes.
Our technical miscomings, codename Mojo.
So you're going to do a video review of our show, right?
That would be awesome. Someday, someday you should do a video segment for the show. That would be fun.
It'll just be the light-up pictures that I have in front of me. I could just highlight segments.
Like those YouTube videos. Have you ever went to one, and it's just a screenshot of words, and it's like this 10-minute video?
Yeah.
But it's there's no video at all. It's just somebody talking or a song or whatever. Oh, I don't know why, but that drives me crazy.
Though the show is great, Neil and Jack do not have any profile pictures, and it doesn't add much to the conversation.
Nice.
I'm telling you. I could form one up right now. Daniel's continually coughing and sneezing can be interrupting the story.
Mojo's less than humorous puns and interruptions seem interesting at first, but they get old after a while, and by the end of the episode, you'll find yourself wishing this guy would just shut up.
You
should totally do one, and we'll use it as the intro or the outro.
Why not?
And feel free to, you know, make fun of us. That's good stuff, man. Seriously, it'd be like a roast, like our one-year anniversary roast.
We're a big enough podcast. We can take it.
Yeah. If you can't make fun of yourself, then you're no good.
Get off the internet. Yes. Immediately.
Exactly. well, that's been fun, fellas.
Yeah.
I suppose we should end the show so we don't end up with an episode like we've had in the past where... I mean, we can continue to talk afterwards, but let's officially end it.
Are we sure that the entire thing got recorded this time?
You know, I believe so, Jack, and thank you so much for caring enough to ask again. I think that attention to detail is what separates you from other smartasses, and I really appreciate it.
Well, my bottom is quite intelligent.
It
thank
is.
Thank you for noticing.
How big is your hard drive?
I don't think that's any of your business.
Do you have any free space at all? Maybe I should put it that way.
I have a 150 gigabyte hard drive on my computer.
What?
And yeah.
That's tiny.
It's really small.
I was gonna say this MP3 Skype recorder is a very free small download, but I don't know that that I could even say that. I don't know that you would have this. Actually, that's all the bigger my hard drive is at the moment. But I have another one to add in. All right, so let's end the show.
Yeah, holy shit.
I know, right?
Come on.
All right. Thanks again to Craig Leg for coming on the show with us and putting up with our crap.
With crap to the face.
Poop in his face.
I came on the Indie Mojo show and I got poop on my face.
That's right, I got
poop in the face.
That's
how do we
happens.
Go from buttering biscuits to pooping in the face?
How come we never used that on the show anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question. We need to remember to start using that on the show. You're right, Jack.
That's like our thing.
It burns my biscuits that we do not implement the butter your biscuits aspect into the show as much as we should. You're right.
Burns my biscuits that you just stole my joke.
Sounds delicious.
I know, right?
Burns my biscuits that all these biscuits are getting burnt.
Yeah. Honey is okay on burnt biscuits.
Yes.
Yeah,
I burned pancakes yesterday. That was a shame.
All right. Thank you for stopping by. Blah, blah, blah.
All right. With Craig Leg, Jack Gardner, Jeremy Brown, I'm Daniel Jones,
You stay classy, Game Informer.
Thank you all for stopping by, and remember to vote for your favorite candidate this election day.
I love legs.
Lucy!
Legs. I was going to say Lucy. I changed my mind last second.
Oh, we're like really thinking. What kind of legs? Jack? Yeah.
Chicken legs or
dog legs?
Kind of legs that go all the way up, if you know what I mean.
Hey, young lady, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but I like the way your legs come together and make a nice ass out of themselves.
Spend my days with a woman and kind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers in her hair. Took my chances on a big jet plane. Never let them tell you that we're all the same. Oh, the sea was red and the sky was gray. Wondered how the horror could ever follow today. Mountains and the canyons start to tremble and shake. The children of the sun begin. Seems that the wrath of the gods got a punch on the nose and it started to flow. I think I might be sinking. Throw me a line if I reach it in time. Meet you up there and the path runs straight. Without a king, they say she plays guitar and cries and sings. La 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 la. Ride a white mare in the footsteps of doom, trying to find a woman who's never, never, never been born. Standing on the hill in the mountain of dreams, telling myself it's not as hard, hard, hard as it seems.